Welcome to issue 210 of Critical Encounters, a podcast about Marvel Champions, a living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. Here, we take a good look at that most critical piece of the game, the encounter sets. We'll discuss those poorly understood characters, unfairly labeled villains, and their various plans to shape humanity and benefit the planet, as well as the so-called heroes' intent. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel, and joining me tonight is Steve.
Hello. How's it going?
Hello. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm excited to do part two. Yeah.
I am too. But you know what makes me a little sad is that it's still just you and me here. It's like a week later. And I haven't seen Mike all week.
Yeah, me either. Well, we can hope he shows up at some point. How about that?
Well, I mean, I guess you can always dream.
We can always dream. Speaking of dreaming... What?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, dreams are things on people's minds. And what's on your mind?
Oh, Steve, you know what's on my mind? Winners. Ooh. Winners are on my mind.
Cool.
Do you remember our 200th episode?
10 weeks ago?
Our 200th issue 10 weeks ago.
10 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we had a bunch of contests. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Well, we've got winners of those contests, Steve. We asked people to name their favorite issue of the show. They replied, given us a reply, put them on the list of possible winners.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
We had six prizes to give away to refresh people's memories. You could win the Organized Play Kit 1, which had like Thor and Black Widow and Miss Marvel. Or you could win the Gen Con 2023 stuff that FFG brought, which were like the alternate art resource cards. And we had six different packs, and we just said fill out the survey and we will randomly pick six winners. But we did ask people their favorite shows, so let's talk about some of their favorite shows real quick.
Pawn Stars was one.
Yeah, a lot of Pawn Stars. A lot of Pawn Stars. Yep. A lot of people liked episode 100. They really liked that, which was great.
Steve, you said episode.
Oh, I'm sorry. Issue 100. I must be brainwashed by somebody. Okay. Yeah.
The interrogation room episodes are great.
You just said episodes. Aha.
I did too. Oh,
you
my
did.
Gosh.
Yeah. It's tough.
I also did earlier too when I said winners of the 200th episode. Issues hard. That's hard.
It is hard. Yeah. Yep.
The interrogation rooms. Those are great. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we get to meet the people that make the game,
Yep. The dating game issue. That was a fun game show.
That was fun. Yeah. Now, also the newlywed game.
Yeah, that's true. People like that format of fun and games.
And Angela and Christian are amazing.
Yeah,
they're so fun to have
them. Yeah, they're good.
Our Goblin Gear issue. What happened there, Steve? What was fun about that?
That's the one where Mike left us alone and we were experimenting in the garage and the pumpkin bombs went off.
Yeah, a whole bunch of bad stuff happened that night.
Yeah.
Some folks liked the songs, which is weird.
Yeah, the songs are good. You know what else they liked?
I don't know. I always feel weird about them.
Oh, they're all so good. They're all so good. But you know what they also like, Daniel, is when we debate the word while.
Oh, golly.
That was one. Oh, this next one was my favorite. This came up maybe one time, maybe twice. Daniel's Yellow Jacket lore issue, where it then had to be corrected by Scarlet Rhodey.
Wow. You know what? If we could use a different word from corrected, how about enhanced?
Augmented. Yes.
Augmented.
Mutated. The really great thing about that issue was when the community said to us, hey, I listen to your show. I love your show. I just had a few pointers to improve the lore because, you know, Yellow Jack is very confusing at that point. And that's when we started saying, hey, let's have more people on. Let's get the community involved. Let's have other people tell us lore.
Was Scarlet Rhodey our first ever minion to do lore?
I feel like it, or at least that really solidified, like, this is how we're going to do this, and we're going to invite people on, and we're going to get the community involved in doing lore. So without that, it'd still just be the three of us yakking about the same lore, right? So
and making crap up.
Right.
Apparently.
Mike does it on purpose. That's kind of mean.
It's still funny because, you know, I probably did the same research for Yellow Jacket that And to call it research is probably insulting to research, but you know, the same that I do for any of the lore.
Yeah, you know what it was, is you got the movie lore and not the comic lore.
Is that what it
okay. was? That's what it was. Yep. All right. And people like the villainous Whatever. Shows. So
Of course, villainous is great.
Let's get on to the winners, shall we?
Talk to me, Steve. Okay. Tell me the winners.
Randomly chosen off air because it was just easier. Otherwise, we were never going to do it. So number one, Scott J, otherwise known as Gojira. Yay. And he liked issue 200. And he said there are so many other great ones. And Newlywed was his runner up. So.
Wow. Okay. Love it. Yeah. Our second winner is Glenn S. We've talked to Glenn before, right? Or we've read stuff from him. We know Glenn S. He loved issue 189. Now, Steve, I'm sure you remember exactly what that was.
I do, because he wrote it down.
And you read everything. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. That's the Michael Boggs interrogation room. That was good.
Yeah. And that was Michael Boggs after he was FFG. Yep.
Coming back to us to talk, you know, like reflectively about the game. It was a really interesting conversation.
Yes.
If you haven't heard issue 189, definitely check it out. Michael Boggs is incredible.
All right, our third winner, Matt V. And he really liked the intergalactic Pawn Stars. Intergalactic ones. Okay.
Well, you know who liked galactic Pawn Stars? Meek.
Hey.
Our good friend Meek.
Hey, Meek.
Meek, yeah.
All right. And then John P., he put down the sinister Pawn Stars. So.
Well, that's insane, because so did Kyle K.
Hey, Kyle K. All right.
Congratulations, winners.
Yes. Scott J., Glenn S., Matt V., Meek, John P., and Kyle K. We will send out some emails and reach out to you so you can get a hold of us, and we will go from there. Okay.
Right on. Congratulations. And you know what? Thanks for being part of this community. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So glad that you're here. Some of you have been to the lair. Some of you haven't yet, but we'll get you here.
We got those nice new white shirts we can use, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
They need new bodies.
Okay, so let's move on to some more Magneto lore, because we are in Magneto Part 2. We're going to do a little bit pulled from the villain's bookshelf, all about Magneto. I'm just going to give you some reading suggestions for folks who are trying to start reading about Magneto.
As you promised us, Steve, last week.
So here's where I say you start. X-Men Volume Number 1.
That makes sense.
Number 1. Like, Volume 1, Number 1. It's the very first one. He's right there at the beginning. You get to see how he first appears. You can then skip ahead to number 4, because Magneto comes back with his Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. You get to meet Toad. You get to meet Mastermind, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver. And you can kind of see his initial entry into the comics. Okay.
So last week we talked about how his wife was the mother of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, right?
Right.
So he's not the father, correct?
No, he is the father.
He is.
Yeah. He went on Jerry Springer and everything. She leaves him while she's pregnant during the.
Okay.
Yeah.
After the loss of their other daughter.
Right. Their first one.
Right. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So now, were Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in the comics before this one, or is this their introduction as well?
That's their introduction as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay.
And we learn at one point, thanks to Board Game Lore, that Toad ends up getting infatuated with Scarlet Witch a little too much. And Quicksilver, her brother, has to teach him a lesson about it as well.
Has to step in.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, what else should I read, Steve?
All right, you should go into the Age of Apocalypse series from the 90s. So it says two bookends. It's an 11-issue miniseries, and then a total of 42 issues. Like, this is a massive scale storyline. It takes place in an alternate reality where Professor X is dead, and Magneto takes up the dream and leads the X-Men. It's as epic comes.
So, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What does bookends mean?
Oh, there's like a starting episode that kicks off the whole Age of Apocalypse that's like outside of any series, and then there's a finishing one as well.
Okay.
So the other 42 issues are like, there's some in X-Men, there's some in Wolverine, there's some in Weapon X. The story touches every single X-Mutant book. So
I understand. Okay.
All right. The third thing that you might want to go check out is called X-Men Fatal Attraction. It's another 90s run. It starts in 1993 and it runs through all the X-Men books. Again, it's basically part of their entire showcase. And we get to see his power and his passion really unleashed as he brutally attacks Earth. So this is where, like, the Magneto villain comes out and you get to see all of his power at its maximum. Well, so,
Steve, what's the tie-in to that Michael Douglas Glenn Close movie? Isn't that like a bunny rabbit?
There's a dead rabbit in a stew pot.
Oh,
is
what it is. Yeah. That's
okay. It could be the white rabbit, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Okay, number four, you want to go get the Uncanny X-Men Volume 1, number 200. This is just a single issue, but this is where Magneto stands trial for his crimes. He turns himself in and says, put me on trial. He wants to put his past behind him. He wants to face the consequences for his actions.
Why?
And he wants, because he's turning over a new leaf. He wants to, this is going to complete his mission. This is what needs to happen. So,
okay. Well, who's putting him on trial?
The Hague.
The X-Men?
Or the UN.
It's, oh, the UN.
It's a global trial. Okay. Yeah, there's a tribunal of like seven countries, right?
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
This also happens to be after he gets turned into a child. Like, remember there's like X-Men babies we talked about at one point? Maybe Blob got turned into a baby. He had gotten turned into a baby, so like...
I didn't know that was such a thing. I just thought it was a Blob thing.
No, apparently a bunch of them happens. So it does happen after he turns into a baby.
Okay.
So there's like a million Magneto comics. You could go to the Complete Marvel Reading Order by Travis Starnes and find, you know, thousands of issues to read. But a couple other good ones that other people have recommended is The Magneto War, also from the 90s. X-Men Red Volume 2, specifically number 3, 4, and 6. The House of X, which is a little bit more recent. That's in the 2000s. X-Men Mutant Genesis, which we
must have... That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I was going to say, right? That is the end of Chris Claremont's 17-year X-Men run, so Magneto gets some love there.
Okay.
And then, of course, the self-titled Magneto series, starting with Magneto, number one, that came out in 2023. So
that's like almost now.
Right, almost now.
Huh.
Yep. You can also, what I found was helpful when I was trying to find some lists, if you want a real good reading list, you can head over to it's called Crushing Crisis. The second word starts with a K. Crisis starts with a K. I'll put a link in the notes, but there's a great reading guide specifically for Magneto and some other characters. There's a really great set of reading orders for Iron Man, Daniel, if you're interested.
Oh, how charming.
Yeah, but it's crushingcrisis.com, and then you can find like definitive guides to X-Men and other Magneto and other characters that you might want to read.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
The internet is a wild and wonderful place, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it's great. Because otherwise, you know, you have Marvel Unlimited, and you're like, I don't even know where to start. So
right.
Yeah.
Right. And does Marvel Unlimited, I've never been there, it doesn't do these types of reading guides or collections or...
It does do some. It'll be like story arcs or things like that. But it's... I don't know.
But if I want to get my Magneto on, Crushing Crisis is where to go.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. You can use Marvel Unlimited to like look up a specific character and go from there. And Magneto is definitely referenced in there, so it's not hard to find. Okay. But there's some other more obscure characters that are a little more difficult to come across. So,
okay.
You're looking for Armadillo, it's not that helpful.
What if I'm looking for Pastepot Pete?
Yeah, also probably not easy. I mean, maybe. Who knows?
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Steve. That's great, folks. You got to listen to Steve. That is an incredible reading list. So.
Hey, guys. Oh, boy. My mutant gene was tingling.
Hey, what? Mike.
This freaks me out every time you do that.
You never know Daniel? He's going to show up.
Yeah, Mike? What?
I just had this feeling. You seem a little nervous tonight.
Yeah?
And I know what that means. So I get the front row seat.
What?
Ah, move over, Steve.
Yeah, come on. Sit down. Because we all know that it's time. Right, Daniel? Right, Daniel?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, Steve.
Oh, look, I found your guitar.
Oh.
And we've done all five villains in this scenario without a performance. I think it's time.
Guys, really?
Here, we even wrote you a song.
What? I don't even know how it goes.
Hit it!
Mm-hmm.
9 o'clock on a Saturday, the Brotherhood shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, tragedy marked on his skin. He says, friend, can you play me a memory? Not really sure how it goes, but it's sad and a sweet exposition replete from when I wore my old X-Men clothes. La da 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 da. Sing us the song, old Xavier. Sing us a song tonight. We've been branded villains allegedly, and you got us shackled up tight. Well, the mutants behind bars are no friends of mine. They're biding their time to break free. With a tongue and a croak, or with fire and smoke, they're yearning for something to be. Eric says, Chuck, I believe this is killing me, as a smile ran away from his face. Oh, I'm sure that I could have a hero con if I could just get out of this place. Oh, that Australian novelist who never had time for a wife, and he's talking with Tony, who's still pretty grody and probably will be for life. Mystique was practicing politics, and Avalanche is cracking through storm, and now they're sharing a prison loneliness, but it beats incarceration. Sing us a song, old Xavier. Sing us a song tonight. We've been branded villains allegedly. You got us shackled up tight. From a carnival, Mortimer smells like a beer. The jeer and the yell from inside the cells, complaining about how they're stuck in here. Well, it's a pretty good crowd for a prison. Senator Kelly gives me a smile, 'cause he knows that it's me who's been trapping them, you see, to debate the true meaning of wild. So sing us a song, old Xavier. Sing us a song tonight. We've been branded villains allegedly, and you got us shackled up tight. We've been branded villains allegedly, and you've got us shackled up tight. And you've got us shackled up tight. And you've got us shackled up tight.
Bravo. Woo! Bravo. That was really good. Woo! That was amazing, Daniel.
Oh, great.
Thank you. Makes me so nervous to do those things.
I like getting little chills a few times. This is really good. Oh. Yeah.
And this is, the first one where all three of us had a hand in it?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, it was awesome. Love it.
So good. So good.
And of course, mad props to Billy Joel.
Of course.
Yeah, for some reason you don't know what song that came from.
Now I admit some of my covers are a little obscure, like Boyfriend's Back, but I think most folks should know Piano Man. Yeah,
I hope so. Yeah. Daniel. And I had not heard it until just then. I got to listen live with everybody else.
Oof. Oh my. So about Weil.
No. Yeah, it's about time you head out, Mike. See you in a while.
He just comes and goes as he pleases.
He showed up for the best part. The best part.
He showed up for a part.
What's the name of that song? Magneto Man? Sing us a song, you're Magneto Man. Or something like that. You're an X-Man.
No, it's old Xavier is who sings this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's funny that the writers of that song never named it.
Oh.
It's called Mutant Genesis Song.
Think it's called X-Man.
On our Googles.
It's just called X-Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. That is the song X-Man.
Like Piano Man, but X-Man.
Yeah, no, I guess.
Everything's got to have an X. That's how it works.
Oh, golly.
Oh, boy.
I will release a song-only version out on the YouTube, so if anybody wants to have just the music, you know, just that song without the rest of it.
One download of that ever when you do that.
One download every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So apologies, folks, for, you know, another song. The lyrics are always great. The delivery, but Steve,
you're too humble.
We've got a lot of work to do tonight.
Yeah, let's get to it. Just like Magneto, we've got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at the Magneto cards we didn't look at. This Mutant Genesis campaign box, fifth and final scenario. It suggests we play with the Acolytes modular set. There are 30 total cards. And tonight, we're going to look at 22 encounter cards.
Whoa!
13 by title. 13
okay,
by title.
That's a little less.
Little less. Yes, not as insane.
All right. Now, Steve, before we do this, can you remind our friends about what magnetic means as a trait here?
Yeah, why it's important.
Before we begin, why it's important. We're going to read that word a lot tonight. So let's talk about why that matters.
Right.
Just remind folks.
On all of the main schemes, on side B's, there's going to be a force response after you place a magnet counter on this scheme, which will happen every time Magneto attacks someone. If there are at least three magnet counters here, discard cards from the encounter deck until a magnetic traded card is discarded. Reveal that card, then you remove the three magnet counters from the scheme. I mean, you could end up with more than three on there, right? But
sure. Yeah.
So every time the main scheme ends up with magnet counters of three, you're going to get a magnetic card you have to deal with right away.
And you know what I like about that in this case, and we'll see it. So this may be a spoiler, I'm not sure, but like usually you're flipping cards off that encounter deck to find, you know, bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
None of the magnet cards are minions.
Correct. Yeah, you're right.
It's all stuff like messing you up or enhancing Magneto, as we'll see. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it is neat.
And as we discussed last week with Steve, you're not digging too deep to get these cards.
There's a lot of them.
So, in fact, in the cards we're talking about tonight, Steve, there is only two cards, I guess, that do not have that trait.
Right. Yep.
One of them is who, sir?
It is the M-type Sentinel, and that M stands for Magneto-type Sentinel. There are four of these in the deck, though. They are a non-unique minion with two scheme, two attack, five health, the Sentinel trait. They have the guard keyword. When defeated, give Magneto a tough status card. It has a special boost icon. Give Magneto a tough status card and a face down boost card, which, according to the rules, you pretty much just reveal right away. It doesn't stick around because you are still in that part of revealing face down encounter card or face down boost cards. So.
Is there a reason to put it face down?
I don't think so.
Are there things that interact with face down boost cards?
I don't think so.
Oh, isn't there the one protection card?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there is. You're right. Where instead of revealing it, you could do something to cancel it, get rid of it. So that does. Yeah, that helps. Okay. Good call.
So you could use that then, right?
Yeah, you'd be able to before you flip over the next card. Good call. Okay. I have protection cards. Ugh. So.
Jeez. I forget what that thing is called. Like
Defiance or something.
Defiance or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Mike would know if he was here.
Mike would know. Yeah. Comes and goes as he pleases.
Okay. All right. So this is a five health minion that's not a Mark V minion, which is neat. Sentinel.
So yeah. And there's four of them, right?
Right. And it's guard, so you have to take it out. And when you do take it out, Magneto gets a tough. So that's cool.
And one of the side schemes from last week, if you don't finish it in time, You're getting one of these cats.
You get one. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, our next card is an attachment called Magnetic Bublé. Well, that can't be right.
Like that's Michael Bublé? Oh, I hear another song coming on.
Oh, geez. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to tilt my head a little bit since it's an attachment. The words are sideways. It's magnetic bubble, Steve. Oh,
bubble. Okay.
Bubble. Sorry. That is a magnetic traded attachment. Attach it to Magneto. He gains retaliate 1. Forced interrupt. When Magneto would take any amount of damage, place it here instead. Then, if there is 8 or more damage here, discard this card. And it has 2 boost icons. Dang.
Yeah. We've seen this card before where, you know, it protects him against 3 or 5 or what. But 8 is eight's a lot.
It seems excessive.
And retaliate 1. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's funny is like retaliate 1. I remember back when I first started playing this game and I see retaliate 1. I was never all that afraid of it or worried about it. You know what I mean? It's like, 1 hit. That stuff adds up when you got 9 hit points.
Yeah, it does. Yep.
So
if this is out and you haven't advanced the side schemes, which you need to advance in order to continually put damage on Magneto.
Yeah.
When he would take the damage, it would go here. But if he can't take the damage, I don't think you can even put it here, right?
When Magneto would take any amount.
So you have to be doing damage to Magneto. And let's say we're still on boarding party where he cannot have more than 6 sustained damage.
So then he could not take any amount.
Which means it doesn't even go here, which means it just sits around even longer. So you still have to.
I think you're absolutely right.
You have to, he has to be able to take some damage for you to put it here. I think that's how it works. So if you get this late game or you get it when you've put as much damage on him as you can, you have to advance the scheme in order to burst his bubble. So
the worst is if this comes out early, right?
Right. Cause you have to. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's good. Yeah. It's good for Magneto.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Well, Magneto
does take any amount of damage. I'm trying to, this game has, bamboozled the English language before, Steve.
Right. Now, they have declared a difference between the word take damage and deal damage. Deal damage is like the start of it, right? I'm going to deal you 5, but your defense is a 3, so you're only going to take.
You'll take,
2.
So he really cannot take damage beyond his limit.
Right. So if you haven't put any damage on him yet, it could go here instead, and then it will. Then it can roll over onto him, but
Hey, Steve, remember last we were talking about like if you see a steady villain, like do you just consider them stunned? Like I sometimes do when I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not good. Yeah. The next two things sort of speak to that.
Oh, all right. Well, let me tell you about his armor.
Please.
All right, Matt. Magneto's armor gives him a +1 attack. It's an attachment. It has the armor and magnetic trait. And it attaches to Magneto. Magneto cannot be stunned.
Ugh.
So steadier, it's not. It just cannot be stunned. You can still confuse the guy. Hero response. After your hero makes a basic attack against Magneto, spend 1 of each resource to discard this card. 3 boost icons.
How strong is this armor, Steve?
It is very potent. It is Magneto's armor is strong enough to survive a direct blast from a Sentinel's gauntlet beam.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is strong. Oh, golly.
So you can't stun him. He gets +1 to attack, and you have to make a basic attack and spend 3 resources of different types. So.
Oof. Well, he's got a helmet that kind of acts like that, Steve.
Okay.
Armor, magnetic, attached to him. He can't be confused.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
There it is. Yeah. +1 scheme to his schemes and the same hero response. After you make a basic attack, spend the lightning bolt, the nerd, and the fist to discard that card, and also 3 boost.
Daniel, what do you think he designed this helmet for?
Oh, right. I think he designed it to protect him from Xavier's telepathic powers, Steve.
Oh, okay. Okay, so between the armor and the helmet, he went from steady to stalwart, if he gets both of them on there. If you're playing like you do, where you're like, all right, forget it, he's steady, I'm not even going to bother stunning him, do you just leave the armor on? Do you just leave the helmet on and give him the stat boost? Or do you try to remove it?
I think you kind of leave it, dude, because to get rid of those resources.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not throwing a shawarma out, like, that's your turn.
Yeah, it's a lot, right? I mean,
it's a really big ask. And I guess now you can use resource generator upgrades and stuff for this, right?
Right. It doesn't say discard from your hand. It just says spend the resource. So yeah, you can totally spend, use them. Right?
So I still think, like,
yeah,
that's hard. But you know, there are some heroes for whom it makes sense to pay the cost. So I played Magneto, and maybe this is going a little ahead of schedule, but like, I played Magneto solo with Psylocke.
Okay.
And you can kind of game her.
Oh, right. You can flip to the resources you need. Yep.
And you can, so it's less of an ask, although she doesn't have a great hand size, but so it's, yeah. So I don't know, but
which is a little thematic because there's a point where Fabian Cortez enhances Psylocke's power so much and she stabs through Magneto's armor and takes him down.
Nice.
So
yeah.
Yep. I do wish the helmet, in the lore, the helmet, just like in the quote, it protects him from telepathic powers. So I wish that it was like, cannot be targeted by cards with a psionic trait or something like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah. It'd be fairly limited. It would only work against certain characters and stuff, but, and maybe it's too strong because you could like never attack him with certain characters, but theme wise, that would be a good hit. So
that'd be cool. Yeah. All right. Well, let's keep going.
Okay. There's another attachment, wrapped in metal, and there are two of these in the encounter deck. Also magnetic, attached to your identity, max one per identity. Attached identity cannot thwart, attack, defend, or recover.
But Steve, isn't that everything you can do?
Yeah, you cannot do anything. Action, exhaust your identity and spend a physical resource. Discard this card, two boost icons. And Archangel says, well, this sucks.
Best flavor text ever.
Yes. It's really
this
good.
Sucks.
Yeah, because you can't play attack cards, you can't play throw cards, you can't play defend cards. If we had recover cards, you couldn't play those. I suppose you're still able to put out upgrades and supports and call out allies and stuff like that. But you're not making any progress with anything else. So
dude, the worst thing is to get this after you've just defended in the villain phase. Oof.
You're exhausted. You can't use. Yeah, you can't ready up to.
Like, you're missing a turn, basically. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
Yep.
Ouch.
Now, it could totally whiff if you already have one on your character.
Yeah. That. How lucky would that be? Yep. So, there's also two electric shock treacheries, Steve. These are also magnetic traded. When revealed, if you're an alter ego, you are confused. Place one threat on the main scheme for each magnet counter on it. Oh. And when you're a hero and this is revealed, stunned. Take a damage for each magnet counter on the main scheme. Oh, so much worse to be alter ego in this.
It's like 1 or 2 points is going to get you. It's only going to be 1 or 2 because if there's 3, well,
yep.
Okay. If it goes to 3, you remove 3 and you get a card. And so there could be 0, there could be 1 or 2. There could be 3 on it because you could put the third magnet counter on the main scheme. This could be the magnetic card you reveal that you will do because the last thing the main scheme says is then remove all the counters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there could be 3 or
that is the rules thing that you got to remember, folks. Yeah. This is like a 2 other scheme, like, what's the scheme you want again? Advance.
Oh, right.
I mean, this is awful.
Yeah.
If you're an alter ego on this.
Yeah, 2 or 3.
It's not like the per player thresholds of his schemes are very high, you know? No. So.
Yeah, and if you flipped and you put 1 on there naturally, and then he schemes with a 2 and maybe a 2 boost, so he's added 4, so up to 5. This hits 6, 7, you've advanced, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Or you get stunned.
Yeah. Which is also no fun.
Yeah. 2 of these, 2 boosts. It's a good card. It's a good card.
Yeah. Ouch.
All right. So that's an electric shock, but you could get hit with an electric blast.
That doesn't sound good.
2 of these treacheries, also magnetic. When revealed, exhaust each upgrade and support you control. Place 1 magnet counter on the main scheme.
Mm.
special boost, exhaust your identity.
Oh.
All right, so you get exhausted on a boost, or you're exhausting all the upgrades and supports, and you're dropping a magnet counter, which could push it to 3, which means you get another magnet card, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mean.
Yeah, it's mean.
These magnet cards are mean, Steve.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, all you D&D players will know the next one, the magic missile.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's magnetic.
Magnetic missile. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Magnetic trait. It has surge, so it must not be that bad.
Oh.
When revealed, defeat a sentinel minion in play. Well, that's great. I think we should stop reading the card right there, Steve.
No, that's not good for us villains. Keep reading.
Oh, wait. Yeah, heroes would stop.
Yeah.
Oh, then take 5 damage. You may discard X cards from your hand to prevent X of that damage. Oh, I should have seen that coming, says Cyclops. And it has 1 boost. Interesting.
Yeah, again, there's 2 of these in there, right?
You know? So, 50% of the time it's going to surge, right?
I mean, even more. So if you're playing as suggested, there's only 4 Sentinel minions in the whole deck, right? Mm-hmm. But if you take out Acolytes and put in Sentinels, there'll be a lot more. It's the flavor fun, though. It's like he just takes that Sentinel, shreds it, and throws everything at you. And somehow, you know, you can block or duck down or, you know, you discard some cards to cancel some of it. So you're sort of ready for it. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm, so good.
Yeah. All right. Here's one of those non-magnetic cards. All right. It's the only other one. It's the only one. And it's called the Master of Magnetism, surprisingly. And there's 2 of them. When revealed, take the topmost magnetic card in the encounter discard pile and give it to Magneto as a face-down boost card. Magneto activates against you. 2 boost icons. Neither your powers nor all your skill can save you from my wrath, Magneto.
It's a weird quote when you consider that he actually wants to be beaten.
Yeah.
But, okay.
And this is like, this art is from one of the classic 90 covers, too.
Nice.
Okay, so this is that extra activation that he gets, which will put out more magnetic counters, which will get you more magnet cards. And he's attacking you again. And he's going to have 2 boost cards.
2 boost cards, yeah.
2 boost cards, yeah. Yeah.
He's not easy.
No, he's not. He's a suitable fifth villain. So,
Wow. You know, it's almost as bad as that, Steve, is the metal shards he throws around.
Oh, right. Okay.
Another treachery, which is magnetic traded. When revealed, deal 1 damage to each character you control. Place a magnet counter on the main scheme. Those just get ramped up. Card is a special boost. If this is an attack that defeats an ally, place a magnet counter on the main scheme. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, 1 damage to everything that those, like, those ally heavy decks just lost. Yep. And then a magnet counter, which could trigger another magnetic card. So, yep. And there's 2 of them. So, I mean, you have to have these cards that add a magnet counter randomly. Otherwise,
right. Otherwise you're gaming it.
Yeah. You can just plan too well. We don't want you to plan. We want there to be some mayhem going on.
Absolutely. Now, there's a couple side schemes left that are both magnet traded, Steve. Tell us about one.
Oh, the first one's Magnetic Mayhem.
Mayhem.
It's a side scheme with the magnetic trait. When defeated, the player who defeated this scheme discards the top 4 cards of the encounter deck. That player places 1 magnet counter on the main scheme for each magnetic card discarded this way. It has the X-Jet logo, otherwise known as an Amplify icon. 4 threat and 4 boost icons. 4 boost icons.
So,
4 boost icons.
I almost wonder if it's worth getting rid of it. I guess it is. Boost icons are awful. Like, but
So keeping it out so the 4 boost icons don't come back into play.
Yeah, I don't know.
The amplify, because there's a few cards we've seen where he gets more than 1 boost card. So that's, you know, 2 more damage or 2 more scheme effectively when he's got 2 extra cards. But
I mean, the real mayhem of this card is the art, where it seems like Magneto's trying to grab Wolverine's gold balls.
Okay, hey, that is a hero character. We don't talk about hero characters on this show.
Well, if we're grabbing their, we can't we?
Oh, nope. Leave the gold balls alone. Don't touch the gold balls.
The art is really.
Yeah. Well, he's lifting him up. Yeah.
Wait
a second. Like, let's go back to the text of it before we turn into like juvenile children here. You're discarding the top four cards of the encounter deck. We discussed last week that's like, it's like a 44%
chance. 44%
chance,
yeah.
Vaguely, yeah. Right? I'm sure the statistics change as you play, but that you hit a magnetic card.
Sure.
So you could be putting out, I don't know, two, three. I mean, you could conceivably put out four, but I'd say two magnetic cards seems fairly reasonable.
Most likely coming.
Right.
And if you put four, Steve, yeah. The awful part about four is that you only discard three magnet counters after it goes off, right?
Right.
So,
and you get another card. You get another. Yeah. It can snowball out of control.
Yeah. I guess a saving grace of this card is that you got four magnet cards in the discard pile.
Right?
Maybe. Yep. I don't know.
Maybe.
But like,
yep.
Oof.
Yeah. It's a good card.
This is a tough side scheme.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the only one, Steve.
Oh, okay.
There's another side scheme called Magnetically Sealed. Also magnetic traded. When revealed, place two additional threat here for each ally in play. And it's a crisis.
Mm.
It only has a special boost, which is exhaust each ally you control. And it's two threat to start.
Okay.
What's the story behind this card, Steve?
I guess the door's closed and he sealed it with his magnetic powers. Well, you know, like, you ever been in a line with a lot of people and you're all trying to go through some little door and it's just like a pain because you're all like have to wait for the slow guy in front of you? Maybe that's what's going on here, right? That's why it's worse for allies. There's a lot of people. So
okay. And you get to go first since you're the hero? I get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to have, I don't know. In a multiplayer and four-player game, there could be a ton of threat on here.
There could be a ton of threat here.
Ton of threat. Solo, you know, maybe you've got two allies out, maybe, you know, it's a sixth threat with a crisis, though. So,
and when you're trying to do all the other stuff in the main schemes,
right?
And the side schemes that come with the main scheme,
right?
A crisis is not what you need,
right? Because that gives him a chance to advance to get his benefit. Because, the art's a little dizzying too. The angle,
wild.
Yeah, it's cool. Not comic art. So, do you think it's upside down or no?
I
think it's supposed to be from that angle. Yeah, it looks cool.
It looks cool. I don't quite understand it, but I like it.
Hmm.
All right. One more card, Steve.
Okay, last one. Seized! Side scheme with the magnetic trait. When revealed, each player places the top six cards of their deck face down under here. When defeated, Magneto activates against the player who defeated the scheme. Discard cards under here. Has a acceleration icon. Three threat per player and three boost icons. And it has a picture of Gambit trapped inside the metal. Yeah, all wrapped up. He's been seized. So.
Wow.
It's interesting because it's I feel like it's slightly different than the other cards, right? Like, there's no other cards that are messing with your deck or whatever, but it just kind of grabs six cards. You don't know what they are. And if you want them back or you want to get rid of that acceleration, you're going to have to take an attack from Magneto, which you have to time because the magnetic counters, right? So all right, that is all of the cards. So let's talk about it as a whole.
What a scenario.
It's definitely, I mean, that fifth villain needs to be a powerhouse.
Sure.
And Magneto needs to be a powerhouse. If he wasn't, I think people would be we know that Caleb really likes Magneto. We've had him say he's his favorite villain on the show before. Mm-hmm. So he's going to do him justice. I'm wondering, do you think this scenario is, where do you place it on a scale of all the fifth scenarios from like Red Skull to Ronin, right?
Yeah. What I like about this one, and I haven't played against Magneto too much, but I have beaten him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that both A, makes me feel like I played it wrong, and B, he's not Ronin, right? Like, he's really a difficult villain to play against, but not unfun.
Yes.
Whereas like Ronin, I just felt like, why don't I just hit myself with a brick?
In the gold balls.
And with gold, yeah. and Magneto, I never felt that way. I'm like, this is a really interesting challenge, and there's some thinky stuff about it. Whereas Ronin just like bludgeons you over the head
right
immediately, and it's over. You know, it's like.
Yeah,
Because this one goes a long time. Like, you play Magneto for a while.
Yeah, he doesn't. So, I don't think he. Right? He doesn't, like, defeat you on turn two.
No, he's not overwhelming you. He's sort of more of a relentless kind of pressure.
Right.
And I think that that's really cool. This might be my favorite fifth scenario.
Yeah, Ronin's really, really hard. Venom Goblin gets to be, like, the setup and everything can be overwhelming. Loki's got the gauntlet, which can be, you know, like, fiddly and whatnot. Magneto's just, he's fun, he's strong. Red Skull's still, you know, he holds up okay if you build him right.
Yeah.
Am I missing anyone?
I don't.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I put this towards very much towards the top of the fifth scenario villains because he is difficult. But you like even getting trounced by him, you're like, oh, I could do this. I can see what happened. Right. Now, maybe you get a bad run where it's like too many magnetic counters in a row. He activates a couple times out of turn, but that doesn't happen every single game, right? So
right. Yeah. And how have you prepared for him? Like, how does the campaign prepare you for him? And I ask that because I've not played Magneto as part of a campaign. I've played him just with various decks and Octagon solo.
Right.
So, like, are there ways that the campaign can prepare you for it and make it easier, harder, or, like, what do you think? Because, like, you know, these villains, it's interesting when you play them outside of the campaign, sometimes they can be a little harder because you don't have certain boons that the campaign might assume you would.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Yep.
And I'm curious if, like, playtesting and development design of campaign scenarios is the same as not campaign. And I guess most things are campaign anyway. But yeah, I just wonder about that.
So campaign wise, you're gonna be shuffling in those future past cards, which you've dealt with, maybe you haven't dealt with, which will make him harder, or there won't be any campaign punishment because you've cleared them. You get Jubilee possibly. I almost said Hope Summers, but it's Jubilee.
Jubilee, right. Okay.
You could also have those really fun captive allies that you have saved, which are pretty good, right? And then if you've completed the surprise attack or something like that, you could get like a random upgrade from your roll cards and put them into play. This has all those roll cards, right? So you were the brawler, or you're the taskmaster, commander, whatever they're called, right? So you're going to get one of those if you've been completing the campaign along the way, which is you're going to be able to use to help you, which are pretty nice cards, which we'll talk about when we do the whole campaign. So I think campaign-wise, it does prove to be slightly easier if you've cleared those.
If you've done well.
If you've done well, right. If you're just barely squeaking by, you're going to go into it with a few future pass cards, and it's going to be difficult. So.
Right. But those things don't exist if you're just playing the scenario.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So that kind of evens out. No, but, you know, I just think that as a scenario, this is super hard, super challenging, but interestingly so. That's why I like it.
I agree with everything you've said. I know it's not great podcasting when we always agree, but you're right. You're right, Daniel. It is.
When you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
You know?
Can't deny it.
Yeah, it's cool. I just think it's... Now, if there's a knock on it, it would be sort of like maybe it's not even a knock. I was thinking sort of a kind of lack of flexibility in the modulars, but I guess you don't have to put the acolytes in. You can put anybody in or add another one, and of course.
The acolytes are a difficult modular set, like we talked about, because they have the teamwork.
Yep.
But they don't necessarily, like, interact.
They don't interact with him. Yeah,
right.
They don't.
Yeah.
And so, but they do make it a lot harder. And I guess if you're struggling against Magneto and don't want to anymore, there's lots of modular sets you can replace them with.
Yeah.
And he's still going to be hard. It's like the modular set's going to change flavor, not difficulty as much.
You go and put in like those, you know, you're like, I'm going to put in the really easy ones or something.
I'm putting in bombs gear. Yeah. But,
right.
Yeah, but Magneto himself, his own set is. Just no joke. but like I said, he's interesting. I like him.
Well, all right. Let's give it a letter grade.
Dude, Magneto's an A+.
I don't usually give letter grades.
But if you were.
I would give it an M.
For magnificent?
For magnetic. for Asteroid M and M type Sentinels and Yeah, for Marvelous. Simply Marvelous.
It's great. I would love to know what Mike thinks of it. I would love to know what everyone thinks of it, Steve.
Oh, me too.
How would anyone let us know?
Oh, come on. You know how they would do it.
Steve, do you think they could email us at criticalencounterspod@gmail.com?
They could.
But what if they were on Facebook?
They could look us up there.
As Critical Encounters?
That's right.
Well, they couldn't possibly find us in like YouTube, Twitch, or Patreon, could they?
All they have to do is search for Critical Encounters Podcast.
Oh, that's amazing. So it's easy to talk to us.
It is.
It's easy to tell us what you thought of Magneto, folks. Hey, on Discord, hit us up too. We're Vardane, Wandering Tuke, and Big Fun Love. Hey, if you like our show, tell your friends. If you don't like our show, you should tell your enemies. Magneto, for the last time, take it out.
The thing none of you will ever understand is that there are no sides. There are no heroes or villains. There's just what I want and how I'll get it.
Daniel, what do you think he designed this helmet for?
I have no idea.
No, he's supposed to read the flavor text like you did to me.
Oh, right. I'm sorry, I missed that.
That's funny.
I was like already scrolling down to other cards. And so
it's weird. I can't remember. Is that bad? What's wrong with my brain? I guess I've got my mind wiped by Xavier too many times. I just can't remember. Yeah. Push him through the portal.
Oh, that's good. Oh, loved it. That was so good. That was so good.
It was great. You know,
yeah, like some of those lines just...
Yeah, we had a collab all the time. It worked out good.
Oh, for sure. And like, I noticed you guys made some changes. You must have, after doing some lore or something, some of the lines sounded different, but...
I did not touch anything lyrically other than shifting four lines around at the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Talking with Toadie, who's still kind of grody.
Yeah. What rhymes with Toad? Grody.
Oh, God. Because we so railed on him. It was good.
But of all of our songs, this was the most serious. Like, there was a certain somber feel to this one.
There was. I mean, these poor guys locked up, being treated like villains, allegedly.
Allegedly.
St. John's an Austrian novelist who never had time for a wife. And he's talking with Toadie, who's still pretty grody, and probably will be for life. The mistake was practicing politics. And Avalanche is cracking through stone. Now the sharing a prison of loneliness. But it beats the inspiration alone. Sing us a song, oh baby. Sing us a song tonight. We've been branded the villains, allegedly. You've got us shackled up tight. Thanks from the carnival. And Mormir smells like a beer. Jeer and the yell from inside their cells. Complaining how they're stuck in here. Pretty good crowd for a prison. And the warden gives me a smile. He knows that it's me. Trying to see, to debate the true meaning of wow.